Blog Talk Radio.
Now we can do this the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. The choice is yours.
Three's the hard way. Three's the hard way. Three's the hard way.
You want to do it the easy way or the hard way?
With over 30 years of combined wrestling experience and knowledge, nearly every bit of it Woody's, Georgia Wrestling History presents Three the Hard Way.
By the day. How about yourself?
Somebody was just telling me the other day, man, you used to have a lot less gray hair in your beard. I said, well, son of a bitch, I'm still alive, so I'll take it.
Yeah, and he's involved in the wrestling business.
Oh, my God. I should have taken a picture to just track the gray hair progress and the amount of hair progress. Since I got in the wrestling business. But I got to tell you, man, I feel like I've been out of the wrestling business. I hadn't been home. I've been all over the place. As a matter of fact, I let the inmates run the last PCW show. And much to my surprise, the building is still standing. I didn't get a whole lot of angry emails. So we'll take it. They did all right for themselves. I was trying to give them a little taste of what it felt like.
If the owner hasn't kicked you out, that's a good thing.
That's right. That's right. I got a couple texts right around showtime. Hey, you know, so-and-so's not quite here yet. Oh, man. So, no, I'm glad. We're back in action on Saturday, and I'm ready to get back at the helm of the ship. We need to get back grinding. I think we'll be back on schedule. We'll be hitting it. What'd y'all do this weekend?
You didn't play football,
I know that much. You didn't play no football, I know that.
Football's a devil. And I'm still ready to get
riding high that first half, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm still ready to get rid of Malzahn. I'm just not buying into his schemes of things.
All right, we're going to take 3 minutes, y'all, and we're going to talk about this because we had to talk. We're going to take 3 minutes, and we're going to talk about this. I think you're right. I think this year is the worst possible case scenario for Auburn. He didn't do enough to lose his job, but you don't have a quarterback. He apparently can't develop one. It looks like he's really good if his quarterback's Cam Newton. And I got to tell you, Woody, I think me and you could book Cam Newton just as well as he did.
I guarantee you. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like when Georgia had Walker, you know, it was Walker to the left, mm-hmm. Walker to the right, Walker down the middle.
That's right. No, I think you're right. But I don't know who's out there to go get, though.
I don't know. I read all year round great of a recruiting class that Auburn has this year. Number three in the country. Well, you damn sure can't show me by the way they played this year.
Where are they?
Yeah.
Where are they? I mean, you can have a locker room full of great guys, but if you don't have any ideas for them and you can't keep them on the same page, that's the case with everything, wrestling or football or your work life or whatever. But yeah, what'd y'all get into? How many shows y'all run? 1,000?
Dude, we're in slowdown mode. We're going to 2 shows a month. And just to tell you the truth, we got a little burned out. You know, just running so much, it's hard to keep up the pace. I mean, we were doing it and fine, but, you know, we like to watch football and go hunting and stuff like that. So we want to take some time and do that kind of stuff. But I did.
Yeah, I struggled with that this year myself. It's like, I feel like we've been running really, really, and you know, we didn't run extra shows. Like we don't run near the volume of shows that you do, but we had some really heavy stuff going on, and
we were
spinning around this and doing this, and then Sacred Ground was such a great success. I just felt like if, 'cause now everything we're doing is a bit of an experiment. You know, I booked the thing for a while, but it was just different because even when I was booking all the shows and everything, I was still talk to Steve and like, hey, what do you think about XYZ? And he had final say so. He was the CEO. I might have been the CFO, but ultimately I trusted his judgment. And I said, well, let's try a couple of different things. So when you pull back like that, there's a fine line, and I hope we didn't cross it. But from what I've noticed, everything has hovered about the same. So I think everybody was just a little beat up and just needed just a little bit of a break. And then, you know, you finish out the year strong and you come back next year strong, and I think you'll get it back. So, yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Well, Darryl went hunting this weekend. He went down to the hunting property down in South Georgia, and he sent me to Big Time Wrestling Friday night.
Yeah.
And Saturday sent me down to WrestleCade. So I was there with Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, and we were sharing a table with him and Ron Simmons. So I literally got to hang out with Ron Simmons and Ted DiBiase all weekend. So that's a pretty. It was a pretty good deal.
Man, how'd those shows do?
The Big Time Wrestling show in Johnson City, Tennessee, Friday night drawed, I'm gonna say between 750 and 800. Sting was there. He was signing autographs and stuff, and there was literally 250, 300 people lined up to pay $75, $100 a pop to get your picture took with Sting. Some people got more money than they got sense. Saturday at WrestleCade was slap-ass full. You know, the meet and greet was slap full. You couldn't move. It was hard to function or do anything. It was so full. And then, of course, the event that night sold slap out too. And it was loaded. It was a loaded event. They pulled out all the whistles and bells for that one. But it was good.
I'm always amazed at those things, at how, like, Sting notwithstanding, because Sting is not a name that I hear at those things all the time. But I would assume that the saturation point would be reached, and maybe it is in some places and for some shows, but, you know, a lot of those guys turn up those things all the time, and there's always somebody there to buy a picture or just tell a story or something. That's great. I think it's great. I'm just always surprised at it. It's like, well, how many times can you meet George South? But you know what?
Yeah. It's like, it was so crazy. Over in the corner of the building we were at, to our left-hand side, we had Big Papa Pump. Next to him, we had Kevin Nash. Next to him, Ric Flair. And next to him was Scott Hall. Then across from them, we had Ron Simmons. We had Magnum T.A. and Ted DiBiase. I mean, that was in one corner of the building. I mean, with just those guys alone, you could have filled the building up. Not including every, you know, they had Sting on the other end of the building. Golly, man, this who's who wrestling was there. It was a bit of overkill, I believe.
I feel like you could have saved whatever money and not lost a single person on that deal.
Yeah. they had, say for instance, here, you know, if I was doing it, I would do it differently. You know, of course, everybody says that. But, you know, they said, you know, they pushed over 100 wrestling stars there. And it was. I mean, you know, you had a lot of guys. You had 50 prominent wrestlers that everybody knew who they was, right? Then you had, I mean, I don't mean to sound like a goob, but you had another 50 people that nobody had a clue who they was.
Right.
Taking
that right.
good space in the building.
Yeah,
and
Mass Assassin number 17. And
Exactly. You know, and
yeah.
It was just, you know, it could have, you know, could have been done a little different, I believe, but it wasn't my gig, so.
That's one of those things about being in the business is no matter whose gig it is or no matter how well it goes, you always think, well, I could have done it a little better.
I don't know if I could have done better, but I know I would have done things a little different. I'd have been a little more organized,
yeah.
I believe. And, you know, it was ten minutes.
We got guests coming up here in a little while, so we're just going to spend a little while on this because I'm interested in it. What's the age range like on those things? Is it a lot of, you know, grandpas and grandsons, or is it a lot of middle-aged guys on the internet?
A quarter of your crowd may have been, you know, I'm not even going to say a quarter. I'm going to say an eighth of the crowd was kids. And then
yeah.
I'm going to say, for shits and giggles, I'm going to say over half the crowd was probably over half the crowd was age 20 to 35.
Wow.
You know, almost, that was your big thing. And then you had a lot, you know, then you had another eighth again, which was probably older gentlemen and stuff. And then I'm going to say the other quarter of the crowd was probably women and workers. So.
Yeah.
You know, your number was anywhere between age of 18 to 35. You know,
wow, that's younger than I would expect, given, you know, the names that you listed off. Those aren't, WCW and WWF were super hot, because that's about my age. 30, you know, I'm on the upper limit of that. 35 is where I was.
Yeah.
So anybody that's within a 10-year range of me, was into it. You know, they were in the boom time, the Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wars, all that's what got them. But those aren't those guys, or at least they're not the top guys of that time. You know, by that time, Flair was, I don't want to say on the downside, but he was not being pushed prominently.
He was certainly.
But, you know, it's still weird to me that those guys are relatively accessible. So what is the draw? I want to know what the thing is that makes people want to come out to those things. And I don't want to come across like I'm saying those things are bad. I'm just trying to.
No, not at all.
How do I get them to come to my show? Standpoint is really what I'm getting at.
Exactly.
That those guys watch a lot of wrestling live. You know, I don't see, a lot of those guys aren't going to indie shows all the time.
Yeah, well, say now, I know for a fact Scott Hensley was there, and, you know, they had indie matches going during the day in the center of the arena while the autograph signings and all that was going on. Scott actually said something to the fact that people around him were going, who is this guy? I've never heard of him. They're, you know, is it some guy just dressed up acting like a wrestler kind of deal? And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people wasn't giving these folks the chance, I guess, mainly because I hate to use the word, but they're not mainstream. And,
yeah.
You know, WWE's mainstream, and everybody knows who most of those guys are. And, you know, just the way he talked, by listening, handfuls of those people in the crowd, you know, wasn't willing to give them a chance because didn't have a clue who it was. So
yeah, and that is part of that sort of, you know, we're big into celebrity culture, and you know, I talked about these guys being accessible. You have to have a certain level of celebrity, I guess, that to get a hook on these people who aren't. I think that guys like me and you have trouble sort of piecing this together because we're so close to it. Like, I can't understand what it's like anymore to not necessarily be in the business. So the nostalgia thing is sort of lost on me right now because I'm in it, and I'm more concerned with guys getting over who have a lot of talent and guys making a name for themselves than I am for seeing the guys who had been good for a little while, or, you know, the Flairs of the world obviously were on top forever and were great, but, you know, just It's not a big deal now. I got you back, Woody. It's not as big a deal for me to go rub shoulders with Flair because I can't book Ric Flair, and yeah. I'm not rooting as much for Ric Flair. So what I was saying is it is tough for us especially to sort of take all this in and understand it. You know, like, you're wrestling people. Why wouldn't you want to see the wrestling? But really, I guess these guys that go to these things are more just, you know, they're nostalgia fans or they're celebrity fans. Or something.
Yeah.
And the wrestling was just a vehicle that maybe they kind of lost touch with, where, you know, me and you were in it day to day and just drenched in the stuff. And so we're like, well, why don't you want to watch the actual wrestling that's going on?
I was surprised that the money these people were spending too. I mean, you know, autographs started anywhere from $20 up, and stood in line to do it. You know, I mean, there was,
yeah,
you know, like Sting was $75 or $100, Flair was $100, Nash was $60, Scott Hall, I don't know if he was $50 or $60, and those lines stayed full. I mean, the money that, yeah, the people that dumped on them, you know, was crazy.
Now, is this a thing that happens every year?
I think this was the fourth event. It's always a big deal, and it always does well. I'd heard tale that this year was the last one. I don't know if it's true or not. If you sell out 4,000 tickets, I don't know why it would be your last one.
I'm never going to – you don't leave on top in that game.
Yeah. If you're
going, you know what I mean?
If you're going to sell 4,000 meet-and-greet tickets, send 4,000 to the wrestling show, and then another 4,000 the night before on a Friday night deal, why would you stop?
What are you stopping for? Those wrestlers are going to, Lord willing, be around next year. Most of, you know, the same ones. And,
yeah,
and judging by how these things go, people will come in to see the same guys over and over again. Was there anybody there who had a autograph price that you thought was just like, come on, this dude is charging this much?
No. After the $30-$40 autograph stuff, I wasn't, you know, nothing shocked me, you know. Some of the folks that were there, it shocked me. I was like, the Mulkey Brothers were there. Can you believe that? You know,
See, if I'm at that kind of show, that's who I'm going to see.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, the Mulkeys were there, you know. And a lot of you Carolina talent was there. The Maestro was there, you know. Of course, George South was there. I can go by a few that I've seen there. I've seen Gunner there. He was set right over beside us. Rebel was there. Crazy Steve was there. Had a Steamboat was there.
Sounds like a show that somebody ran against my show that time.
Well, I wish we could afford to have one that big.
Yeah.
Man, what's his name? The guy that took over WCW. Everybody hates him. Used to announce for AWA.
Oh man.
You know what I'm talking about. Bischoff was there.
Yeah.
He was there. Sonny Ono, wasn't it Sonny Ono the manager?
Well, he was there.
You know, and that's just on my end of the building. You know, there was so many. There was so many more on the other end of it. Dale Wilkes was there.
These are the same guys who, you know, they're con to con.
It is just
amazing. It is amazing that they did something, you know, that wrestling meant that much to enough people that you can keep pulling this racket over and over and over.
Wow, I want a piece of that pie.
And, you know, you dabbled in a little bit of that with your super show. Was that part of it a big success?
Yeah, I was surprised that the people that showed up for autograph signings and stuff. You know, one thing I did notice, me and my girlfriend both noticed, so some folks got there at 6:30 that morning for signings, right? So from 6:30, the doors opened at 10:30, right? So they waited from 6:30 to 10:30. So they got there so they could get in line quick and all that. So they, from 10:30 to 1 o'clock was flat full. You couldn't move. Then all of a sudden, everybody parted like the Red Sea. And then the people that were just coming up and buying tickets were just coming in and getting in the line and seeing, you know, not have to wait for everybody. You know, my advice would say wait till about 3 hours before the show starts, then come and do the signings and stuff. Because by that time, all the long lines is gone.
Right.
It was nuts.
Standing in line, and there ain't even a big TV for anybody to buy.
Yeah.
Woody, check your phone.
All right.
But we got some guests coming up, and I'm glad that Woody had that, because that leads us in perfectly to what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about a reunion show. We're going to talk with some guys that have been around for a long time, and I think we might have one of them on the line right now. That's what I'm checking on right this second. But these things are a part of business. They're not – I don't want to sound like I'm casting judgment on them. I just don't understand them. I hadn't got to that point in my life where that's a thing that I understand just yet. But that being, you know, I think we all kind of have one of those in us. I go to, like, horror movie conventions all the time, mainly because I started going with a cousin a long time ago, and I've kind of fallen out of the love of some of it. Like, I can only meet the guy that played Jason so many times before he's just a dude that I'm, you know, I feel like I know. Like, hey, man, what's up? The last time I went to one of those things, I did meet Roddy Piper, and that was pretty exciting, and it was not too long after that True Ghost Story or whatever thing he did came out. Did you ever see that thing, Woody?
No, I don't think so.
Well, he tells a story about, I think, the ghost of Adrian Adonis. I think Adrian Adonis is dead, right?
No way.
No, it's not Adrian Adonis. Who was it? At any rate, it was one of his old running buddies. And he says that his ghost, saved Piper's house from a fire. And I said, Hot Rod, is that real? He said, Brother, I'm telling you, I'm shooting you straight. That really happened. And so I'm like, all right. I'm standing here telling ghost stories with Roddy Piper, so I'll take that any day of the week. Now, you talk about telling stories. We got a man rolling in here right now that can tell any kind of story, any kind of place, any kind of where. And he's going to tell us a lot about what he's got going on this reunion. Is that the Rocker Terry Lawler out here?
Oh, I'm sorry. Was you actually building me up?
I'm so getting you the big introduction, man. I got to put it on for Terry Lawler. I mean, you'll have a booth one of these things before long.
I was like, I'm glad I called in. This is going to be somebody famous, but y'all got stuck with me. I apologize.
We'll act like you're famous for a little while. How about that?
I appreciate that.
I thought Brian Lawler was calling. That's gonna. Well, what's going on, Terry Lawler? I feel like I ain't seen you in forever.
No, I'm just trying to stay busy, trying to, you know, just stay out of trouble, stay on the road, and just have fun, and you know, trying to get to my anniversary of next year, September, and then try to hang it up.
Try.
Yeah, let's talk about that, Terry, because I've heard that out of you. What are you going to do on the weekend if you hanged up?
Well, I've been slowly changing my plans. I've been, like, doing a brewery a month and just trying to slowly change from, you know, after 20-something years of somebody tell you where to be every weekend, it is some a big drastic change-up. So I've been trying to fill in my schedule between bookings, just trying to do that slow fade-out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, it is hard to imagine the wrestling scene without you in it somewhere, though, man. I mean, I hadn't been here that long, but you're around. You're always around. You're always doing something. What is it that's making you think about easing out of this thing?
It's just current health issues and just body starting to hurt more ever after each match, and I want to leave the ring proud of what. You know, what I finished with, stood being one of those guys that are begging for bookings, or you're one of the boys or one of the fans saying, oh, my God, what's he still doing in the ring? I don't want to have that on me. I want to be proud of what I left. And I'll still be coming around the shows as far as actually in the ring action. I think it's time.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. I will not pass judgment on you if you decide it's not time, because this is wrestling, and that's what we do.
I'm not gonna try to pull your string or nothing, but Terry, I'm not gonna lie, you're just as good as you was when I met you 20 something years ago. You haven't missed a lick. I mean, what in the world? What keeps you up to that cup to par like that? You know, your body didn't break down near as fast. Say for instance, as fast as mine did. You still got it. You know what? You know, how do you keep that up?
Look.
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 Well, that's a damn honest answer.
I was going to say, folks, you better write it down. We just got an honest answer from a wrestler.
You know, I would say, you know, the whole, you know, take your vitamins and live right, but I haven't really lived right for a big part of my life, but I've had fun, but it's just been pure luck, I guess.
Wow. I guess I wasn't so lucky.
Well, you know, Woody. Well, now, I was going to say you like to get out there and do a lot of other stuff, but, you know, the Rocker's lived his life. I will ask you this, though, Terry. Like, you are psychology first. Do what's right for your spot on the card. Do what's right for the match. Do what's right with your opponent. How much of that do you think has let you have a lot of longevity, where you didn't go do a bunch of a whole lot of crazy stuff?
Well, I guess I had some, you know, good teachers, and then it took me a while. You know, when we're rookies, you kind of go all crazy trying to get your name out there, and then eventually you learn to work smart, not hard. But I did my share of hardcore for, you know, a few years, but I guess I just keep going back to that same word, luck.
No.
The truth is the truth. Well, what is this reunion I keep hearing tell about?
The Christmas chaos?
I was actually the one like you just did Thanksgiving, the NAWA NGWA reunion show.
Yeah, we Thanksgiving night, it was a nice little crowd. We had a bit of Butcher in the House, Tate Long, Lee Thomas, of course, Danny D's, and, you know, Phil Hefner. Nasty Clear showed up out of nowhere. Chip Day.
Wow.
It was a huge variety of some of the early guys and then some of the latter versions of the NAWA guys. So it was if you took a roster over the years, you just start handpicking people stuff. It was good to have a lot of those guys under one roof one more time at least.
That's good. Well, who did you take on? What part did you play in that?
It was D&D Enterprise, managed by Danny Dees, of course. It had Shane Roberts, Michael Cross, Tank, Chip Day, and Murder One on the same team.
Wow.
Versus myself of Team Extreme Army with Phil Hefner, Max Steele, Dirty White Boy Jimmy Powell, Chris Nams, Bobby Hayes, Little Fabio. I'm doing the math. Make sure that was five wrestlers involved in that. Yep, it was 5-on-5. Five on five elimination. It came down to Michael Cross and Dirty White Boy, and it was Dirty White Boy's. See if I still have it, and he still does match. And pending.
Wow. What? Dirty White Boy used to be one of the favorites in Rome. Well, he was hot all over the state of Georgia for many years. How was his game? Was it still up to par?
He still rock and roll, strutting and strolling out there, and it was good to see the crowd, you know, giving the just, you know, that he deserved. And I mean, hell, he went through all the way through the whole match and ended up winning, so he hung it up for the best of them.
Wow, that's great. That's great. I love him.
You see, I haven't said a word about Dirty White Boy. I will not say a word about him. I'm still scared of him. To this day, still scared of him. I was watching, Continental with some of the guys, and I was like, he came on the TV, and I was like, I just froze. I was like, man, I'm a kid again, because this dude used to terrify me. It didn't matter how he was working, if the crowd, well, I didn't care, because he looked like every dude at a store that I was scared of. So there was something about him, man. And I mean, he had that look, like, it doesn't matter what kind of shape he's in, doesn't matter who he's in there with. He just had that look like, well, nothing anybody's going to do is going to actually hurt him. And it's not that he, you know, went in and no-sold a bunch of stuff. It's like, just his mere presence was just this, I'm going to fight you until I win. It don't matter if that's today, tomorrow, or next week. If I see you, I'm going to fight you.
Now, are you confusing Jimmy Powell, Dirty White Boy Jimmy Powell, with Dirty White Boy Tony Anthony?
See, Woody, I don't make a distinction. Just anybody who calls themselves that is scaring me. All of them. All of the dirtiest white boy. Every one of them. See, I knew there was multiple, didn't care. But yeah, that's. Well, y'all give me a little history lesson on that promotion, because that's one that I didn't get to see.
You want to tell them a little bit about it, Terry?
You go ahead, and I can fill in the gaps. I do it.
Okay, guys.
Well,
at the time that the NAWA and NGWA was going pretty hot and heavy, I was working in the Carolinas and in Tennessee area. I worked there a few times. But not many. That's the reason I can't tell you a lot about it. But that's the reason I was kind of putting it toward on you.
Okay, I'll take over. NGWA came out of Georgia All-Stars, which prior to that was Jerry Blackwell's AWA South or Southern Championship Wrestling. And it changed hands several different, you know, times. 1996, NGWA took on a group I was involved in called the EZWA. Winner takes all. We won, and they ended up changing their name to NAWA the following year. But it's been, either one has been pretty much a mainstay since the mid-90s here in Georgia, as far as Canton, Rome, Douglasville, this whole little area.
So, see, when you say 96, like, I can't even imagine. Like, there were independent promotions in 96? Surely not. That's when Raw came on. That was on the wrestling, it was. But there was so much that still went on. How much, Terry, do you think that you've just out and out forgotten? Are there any promotions you've worked for that you think that you just don't have any recollection of?
Let's say the first part of my career, my mind was a little foggy back then.
Sure, it happens. Don't make you a bad person.
So I'm sure that there's quite a few there. Probably did one also on that I don't, you know, give myself credit for being a part of their team, but, you know, it was after 27 years, I'm bound to forget quite a bit.
Yeah. That's so wild.
Did you
the same
weather?
Go ahead.
Well, I might have took a nip or two back in. Did you ever work? I'm sure you did. You worked for Mickey Henry some out from Boaz, Alabama?
A couple of times.
I don't know if you're familiar with him, Matt. That's Mickey the Hammer Henry. He laid claim to training all the great stars that he never trained.
Yeah, but, I've heard a Mickey Henry story or two.
Yeah, he's a pretty good promoter, you know, as far as promoting and working the town and stuff. But I figured
you could draw just about anywhere.
I think Mickey's still running Boaz. I think
that's Buff used to work there. Bagwell used to work there, you know, off and on, but I was always shocked when I'd see that pop up, like, Boaz. Like, I go all over Alabama, and I've been to Boaz, like, once. There's a mall there. That's about all. And I was like, why in the world is somebody running in Boaz? Somebody was telling me stories from there once. I can't remember who it was, but it was, like, always the building would be a little crazy, or there'd be some extremely weird stipulation, and the part about him training everybody always came up.
I was there working one time, and I literally seen Mickey Henry. So, you know, the wooden folding chairs, you remember them things? I literally seen Mickey throw one about 50 feet across the arena like a frisbee at a guy. And that's one of my fondest Mickey Henry stories. But he literally, and he threw that thing, I'm not kidding, he threw it at probably 50 miles an hour. Double-handed, wheeled that thing at a guy, and if it had hit him with it, it would have killed him. You know, and it was crazy.
Had that been an Olympic sport, he might have won.
I think it was in Boaz. The wooden chair toss was a time-honored tradition. He probably did it in high school. Now, we're doing all this old-school talk. I knew it wouldn't be long before we were joined by somebody else. I believe I heard his name mentioned just earlier. Is that the Hill Daddy, Chris Nelms, calling me?
Yes, sir, it is. How's it going, gentlemen?
Gentlemen,
welcome
to this well-spoken individual.
You're being invaded by them 605 boys.
Yeah.
How's it going tonight, Chris?
I'm well. I'd be a lot better if I were at home.
Well, ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? Now, you talk about staying busy against all opposition. Chris Nelms, when the last weekend you took off?
I was actually off this past weekend, with the exception of our Wrestling Thursday in Rome.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna give it. If the NFL gets to take Thursday, you get to have it. I'm gonna give you Thursday. But no, man, you don't not work a whole lot of time. How do you stay booked everywhere?
I just keep putting my name out there, and somehow I've been blessed.
And you took so much shit a few years ago.
Yes, sir.
I mean, just so much of it. But I look around, a lot of people who was given that, they're not working nearly as much as you do. was it a motivating factor, or did you just keep chopping wood?
I never really took it to heart. Just kept doing my thing. I was fortunate to hang around some people that really had my back, like a Terry Lawler and the 605 crew, and I just tried to keep myself busy.
Can I need to ask something now. So, Matt, what you're trying to say is people actually talk about other people in the wrestling world?
It was the weirdest thing, Woody. Like, this it hadn't happened before, and it has not happened since. It was just Chris who they were all mad at.
Oh, okay. I had no clue about this. Holy moly. Well, Jeff, tell us about the 605 crew. Tell us a little bit about the 605 crew.
Well, the 605 crew is just a group of us guys that enjoy old school wrestling, and we get together and try to keep ourselves busy. That'd be myself, Terry Lawler, Jamie Holmes, Big Andy. We've actually added in the Jagged Edge and Justin Legend as well.
That's a pretty strong little lineup there.
You'd probably book them guys. Well, you guys were sort of the epicenter, you know, the originals out at Southern Fried. Can you believe what that turned into?
There's some good things happening over there. I actually dropped by a couple weeks ago and got to hang out in the locker room and made my presence known again there. So I'll definitely be back there the 11th and see what happens going forward. So.
And how did you, or not necessarily you, because I kind of know how you are. You're not kidding when you say it's take it in stride and you just roll with the punches. But how did sort of the overall locker room feel as started getting their foot in at Southern Fried, and then, you know, you saw some of the other talents start to come from other places and maybe get some of the spots that some of those other guys had. Was there ever a sort of this transition time where it was a little rough over there?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And there's some guys there that still feel, you know, that their spots might be in jeopardy, but now it's time to step up or step off.
I mean,
Oh, my God, hell has froze over twice tonight. We have got two honest answers out of a wrestler.
I don't know what's happening.
You know, that might be one of the reasons I caught so much shit a few years ago is that's one thing I've always tried to do is be honest.
Holy moly.
Even when the whole world seemingly was against you, you didn't back down.
No, he never. I can honestly say he never missed a lick, buddy. He never slowed down. He never stopped. He kept going. Chris, how about what kind of mentor has Terry been to you?
Oh, man, Terry's been amazing. we won't talk about those weekends off that Terry's taking more frequently. We'll leave those out. But I've actually been a huge Terry Lawler fan for the most part of my life. So being able to hook up and learn from Terry Lawler has been amazing.
That's good.
Have you ever seen Terry Lawler not go the extra mile to give somebody a piece of advice? Has he ever shrugged anybody off that you've ever seen?
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
It's just me then. He treats bad.
Have you had the privilege of going to a Widespread Panic concert with him yet?
No, I have not. We actually did Blackberry Smoke, ZZ Top, and Greg Allman recently, which was a blast with him and Air Paris. So that was quite interesting.
Can I chime in?
Yes, please.
Oh, you're welcome.
Not only did we go together, we actually borrowed Ox's ring band, and we all went down in one big group in a wrestling ring band.
Wow.
That's one thing I can say about Terry Lawler. He's always had a soft spot for the slow person, so his slow person would be Air Paris.
Wow.
But, all jokes aside, I'm just kidding. You know that. But I always kid. Every time I see Terry, I always tell him that I used to watch him wrestle when I was a kid, and I'm older than he is. So Terry gets so sick of hearing that. That's the reason I keep saying it. So.
And you know, Terry is a guy. Go ahead, Terry.
It's like every time I'm on one of his shows or anywhere near him in a microphone, that's going to come out by the time intermission ends, and I'm right there in front of everybody, so there's no way of hiding from it.
It is. He's good at that. He's real good at that move. That is his favorite move. That's why he quit wrestling, so he could just sit back at his table and scratch his chin and talk on that microphone. That's what he does. Who do you think he's fooling? But that, and it, you know, Terry, you and Chris and those guys have all had a great camaraderie. How did it come about? Was it, were y'all just around each other a lot, or was there, you know, something in particular that kind of drew you all together?
Go ahead, Chris.
Or is it double secret kayfabe? If y'all got a body buried somewhere. Terry, you go first.
No, it's, sometimes you don't know who you mean something to until you actually bump into them either in a locker room or take out town with a fan, sign the autographs, and actually get to know them, not just as a paying customer. And sometimes those fans turn into be some of your best friends in the world, and it's just it's a weird family, you know, whether you've been for 5 years or 50 years, it's still a weird family, but we are a family. And I think when Woody can tell you down at Gulf Coast, someone made this saying that, you know, is where your friends become your enemy, you become your friends, and everybody has a hero in this business.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's part and parcel to it, too, is when you get guys that you can travel around to stuff with that's not a booking, that's when you know that you're locked in step. You know, you hear Woody talk about it, and I got my guys that I go to things with, and I think that if you're listening to this and you're in the business and you don't have that, that's probably going to hold you back at some point. Would y'all agree with that?
Most definitely.
I don't know if you can – I don't know if anybody can teach you directly how to operate in the locker room, but – that is Chris, is that something that you think hurts a lot of younger guys?
Yeah, I would think so. A lot of guys come in with that chip on their shoulder, and you know, it takes time to figure out what's going on and where your place is in the locker room.
Woody, what do you tell your guys that you're training about that? Is that something you address directly, or do you just kind of set a good example?
You know, I try to, you know, teach them to treat others like you'd want to be treated, you know, and to never think you're better than nobody else. And, you know, everybody has something to offer a show, no matter how good or how bad they are. And, you know, you teach these guys of that nowadays, but it's easily forgot, you know, if you don't keep beating it in the head. And, you know, but, you know, it's hard to lead them to water. And, you know, you can lead them to water,
yeah,
but make them drink.
Can't make them drink. That's true.
Yeah.
Terry, I know you've been everywhere and you've got a lot of friends. Is there one particular locker room that stands out to you over your time that you were like, this is home?
Not because someone's on the other end of this conversation, but I've always enjoyed the Woody's locker room's always been good.
Everybody knows what they're doing. Everybody knows what they're doing. It's a team effort. You know, if you tell somebody to fall down and just, you know, whatever, they do it, there's no question, because they know it's not about a spot show. They're all in it for the bigger picture down the road. If the show wins, everybody wins. And those are good locker rooms to be part of.
That was one of the first things that I learned was, like, when I got into Woody's locker room, I finally knew how it was supposed to go. Like, oh, this is what it's like when there's a boss. And this is what it's like when everybody – I say the phrase all the time that we're pulling the rope the same way. This is how that feels. Okay, I get it. Because, see, I was not in the PCW locker room. I started outside of that and worked my way into it. So I didn't – you know, I was just catch-as-catch-can for a long time. So I didn't understand what the dynamics could always felt like. You know, I'd go to this place, like, oh, they do it this way, and go to this place, well, they do it completely differently, and I don't think either one of them are exactly geared towards success. And then I got to Woody's, like, oh, okay, all right. Chris, is there one for you like that?
I'd have to say, go back to where I started, down in Milledgeville for GIWA. Mike Stratus, just he always knows what he wants and how to get there.
And would y'all think, Woody, would you think it's fair to say that guys want to be led?
Oh, Lord, no. God, no, they don't want to be led. Lord, no. They want to do what they've seen on TV this week, whether it makes any damn sense or not. But, no, I mean, I hate to sound like a goob, but that's just the truth. I mean, you got 20% of guys that are willing to go with the program. The rest of them, they march to their own beat of their own drum. And if they don't like what you have, they're going to go on down the road somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And I think once you can recognize that sometimes you have to let them, man, you're in good shape. If you can just start culling that group out and just get the ones that really, truly want to be there, and I would imagine if you track back the awards or you track back the shows that were super successful, the ones that had the highest percentage of guys who wanted to be there and wanted to do it the way that the show wanted to do it are the ones that were always at the top.
But yes, it's crazy. Hey, what do y'all guys got coming up here? Here in the next future, we're almost at an hour already. I can't believe it.
Tell me about it.
Well, I guess I'll go first there then. I'm in Milledgeville this weekend for GIWA. Next weekend, I'm in Jasper, Alabama, for Mike Jackson. And Southern Fried PC, then the Southern Fried PCW show on the 11th.
Yes, sir, on the 11th. I'm geared up. I don't know about you, Chris, now, but I'm geared up.
Most definitely. I heard something about one of my specialties, a Bunkhouse Stampede, and got real excited about that.
I'll be there.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot going on during that. I'll wait to the end portion, and I'll tell the folks what I'm thinking. Terry Lawler, what's up with you?
I got a brewery tour coming up soon. Fill in the gap.
I'll be at Sweetwater this Saturday from 4:30.
Taking sponsorships right now. Somebody want to promote me, I'll promote you. Now, I got some stuff scattered out, but something I'm looking forward to is actually in the new year, the AIWF 25th anniversary stuff. Inducted me to the Hall of Fame that Saturday up in, I call Mayberry, which is actually Mount Airy on that Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then that following Sunday, we got to drive 3 hours in the morning into a place that's very special. My brother and myself is Beaufort, Georgia. And I just found out today they announced it that there's a possible me and him teaming up.
Wow.
Strangely speaking
of that, Terry, I guess I'll be the one to make that announcement. You got the text as well, but it looks like It'll be you and brother against Justin and myself in a barroom brawl that day.
Well, that just got interesting.
Whew, all that fun and games are going to go out the window.
Well, you know, that's the thing about the 605, you know, is I made a post a few weeks ago stuff that now I'm an EOW, Equal Opportunity Wrestler. So, you know, like the old saying goes, pay me, book me, you know, book me, pay me. And Junkyard Dog had old saying was, if Price is Right, I'll be there tonight, you know.
Yeah, that brother of yours is tougher than a Timex. He'll take a licking and keep on ticking for sure. He's still going at it.
So what about
well,
you guys?
Gentlemen,
what y'all got coming
it
up?
Is. Oh, it is. Yeah, we got it. What do you go first? You take the rest of the time with.
Oh, what have I got coming up?
He'll say we're going to run two shows a month, but then who knows?
I have one show coming up in La Follette. We just added.
Just got one this weekend. Got just got Friday night in Blue Ridge, Georgia, at 8 o'clock. Got a Friday night show. Then on the 17th. The 17th of December, we have one in Canton, Georgia, and that's all we've got the rest of the year. I told you, man, 2 months.
Laying low. Well, PCW is back in action in Porterdale this Saturday. Brian Blaze is just that. He is on fire, and he has set his sights on Gunnar Miller, but you know, Gunner's got a pretty good manager, and he has creatively weaved his way through litigation that he may or may not take the match. We don't know. I have planned for that match to happen because I think Gunner wants to be a fighting champion, but he's with Jeff G. Bailey, and he's been at this a long time. But for sure I know what's going to happen is our guest from just a couple weeks back, Miss Jessica Powerhouse Lee, will be making her PCW debut, and she will be taking on the Fallen Flower Kikyo, who is flying all the way here from California and other parts west. And I'm telling y'all, she is.
What is that?
Out. That is Saturday, my friend.
Man, I'm going to get heat at the house.
I'm telling you, Woody, I'm coming for.
Dude, I'm the Fallen Flower Mark. Don't tell nobody. So.
Well, I thought about that last night. I said, if Woody finds that I got this girl, he'll try to down steal her because that's what he likes to do.
I'm gonna come there and steal her.
But maybe we can butter her up and we'll get her back here and get her working for both of us. I'm excited. I am flat out excited. I love women's wrestling. I think that it's a great time for it. Kikyo is amazing, and I think that this might be the chance that Jessica has to really, really show what she's got and break out of this thing. And as you know with PCW, anything in the world is possible, just like it was possible somehow for Southern Fried and PCW to work together on one show. If you told me this was going to happen a year ago, I'd said you're crazy. You are the craziest person alive, but it is going to happen. On Sunday, December 11th, and on our part of the show, you know, everybody does things a little differently. I try to keep it a little closer to the vest. I like for people to be surprised, but I'm going to let this cat out of the bag. Match one of the seven-match series, between Shane Marks and the Gladiator Jeremiah, formerly Slim Jim.
Holy moly.
Wow.
So, you know, get ready, boys. I'm coming. Chris, you better tell him I'm coming. I'm bringing with guns blazing. We are coming, and it is not to show anybody up. It's to just make sure we do our part to have a great show. I kind of cut my teeth. The first shows I ever did with these things were I worked with Woody and Empire, so I'm always used to being under the gun on these things. So I'm coming out firing, excited, ready to do it. Well, gentlemen, we thank you so much. Thank y'all brought a little class to our show. Y'all gave us honest answers. So you are welcome here anytime you want to promote, anytime you want to chew the fat, or anytime you want to talk bad stuff about Woody. We are glad to have you on Three the Hard Way. Thank y'all.
Take care, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, that will do it for us here. You can join Steve and Larry Goodman here in a couple of weeks on the Tipping Point. I'm Matt Hankins. That's Big Wood. Thank you all so much.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.